It's the Producer Nick Podcast, brought to you by Avatar Desk. It's digital marketing made easy. Go to avatardesk.com to learn more. Here's your host, Nick Sharara.
Episode number 8 of the Producer Nick Podcast here, brought to you by Avatar Desk, AVATARDesk.com. AvatarDesk.com, a digital marketing company that can take your website or online marketing needs to another level. Put in the promo code Nick99 and holler at Avatar Desk. We welcome in on the hotline Adam Rank of NFL Network, who is always very kind with his time, does a number of things, very fun to talk to. But I welcome him in to initially talk about the Roger Goodell situation. Man, it looks like they've changed their tune on the celebration rules. And he's, you know, he said he spoke with a number of people, including former players and current players, and he's heard from the fans. I mean, why did they make this move to begin with, Adam? Wasn't it just a dumb rule to begin with?
Wow, already just swinging away. Right, yeah. Right off the bat, we're not going to have any platitudes. I'm not going to be able to make a little joke about how your podcast is sponsored, which is very impressive. But no, I think that you hit the nail on the head in that it was kind of a dumb rule. And I think, you know, the commissioner unfortunately gets a lot of kind of a bad rap for not being a fun guy or whatever. And, you know, he's in a tough position. You know, there's a lot of different owners who have different feelings on things like end zone celebration. And you realize there's 32 owners and all of them have their own voice of like what is cool and not cool in the league. And so I think that what it came down to was the league just, you know, doing some due diligence and just checking it out and trying to not necessarily crowdsource, but at least, you know, not be tone deaf, you know, just kind of just listening to what people think. And I think that over the majority of people are not offended by end zone celebrations. I think it's good for the game. I think it's good for exuberance. I think it's, you know, you don't want to ever legislate fun out of the game. So I think this was a situation where the league just realized the mistake and was like, yeah, we should probably do the right thing and get rid of that. And, you know, and again, too, the thing that's always funny to me is we've all played sports and, you know how people are and things like that. And it's like, look, I personally, I never really got into the end zone much, so it really wasn't for me to say, but I wasn't a big end zone celebration guy, you know. I was more of a flip the ball to the referee unless somebody was really pissing me off, and then I would be like, all right, then I might showboat a little. And so you can still do that as well. So I don't think that there's anything wrong with it. I kind of like, you know, when I was a little kid, Emmitt Smith and Barry Sanders were the two best running backs in the game, and you would get Emmitt like pulling his helmet off and you're like, that's cool. And then Barry Sanders flipping the ball to the referee, and you're like, that's also cool. So I enjoy it all. So I just want to see some individuality, and I think it's cool. You know, I think let them celebrate.
I do like the Key and Peele reference that Roger Goodell made. What did you think of that?
The commissioner's got jokes. I like
it.
You know, I think it was cool. You know, again, you know, it was an opportunity for the commissioner to show his personality a little bit. And I know most people don't believe it, but like I've actually, you know, had some interactions with him, and not just necessarily from the Park Avenue address, but like being at Super Bowls. And, you know, I'm an actual league employee, so I can go to the post party, and I've run into him. And like one time we were at wasn't it Dave and Buster's, but it's one of those type of things that has bowling in it. Lucky Strike, maybe. I don't know. All your potential sponsors, possibly, but whatever. But no, he was like hanging out, and like they had a golf simulation thing, and just sitting there, like, we're just hitting the ball with the commissioner right now. And I was about to say something probably stupid, but somebody pulled him away because he's a busy man. So it probably saved me. It's probably why I still have a job, because I was probably going to ask something dumb because I've been drinking, so who knows. But it was probably about end zone celebration, to be honest. No, it wasn't. It was the booze at the draft. That was another cool thing, too. When you talk about some of the changes, you know, and I think we saw it this year with Drew Pearson really firing up the Philadelphia crowd. I think it was a story. It might have been Monday Morning Quarterback who had it, who talked about how, you know, Drew Pearson was worried, like, what should I do if they boo me? And Roger was kind of like, hey, embrace it, you know, like, go out there and have some fun. Actually, I think it was Mike Freeman. It might have been Bleacher Report who had it. But and the commissioner was like, go out and have some fun. And I think we've seen ever since Chicago that when he goes out there and gets booed, that he's going to just have a little fun with it. Just ask, you know, kind of encourage it. And I had always told, like, PR staffers here, I said, one of the rules of comedy or anything like that, or like professional wrestling, is like, don't step on your heat, you know, whether it's people cheering or booing, like, the reaction's the same. Like, I always have a thing like groans or laughs, like, whatever it is, don't step on that. Let it kind of play out. Let the fans, you know, show that they're interacting with you and engaging with you. And I think it's a good thing, whether it's the boos or the cheers. The worst is just to have silence and everybody like not care who you are. Cause I get that a lot. I get the, who are you? And deathly silent. And so I think I would gravitate towards boos at this point in my life.
Yeah. Interaction is really important. I don't see how you could think that's a bad thing if you're the NFL commish, if you're the NFL. But we're speaking to Adam Rank here of the NFL Network and NFL.com. I'm based down here in Houston, so I kind of want to get to the Texans and the Dwayne Brown situation. Also Deshaun Watson, obviously. But before I do that, I did see out there on the interweb about Big Ben and how, you know, there's quotes out there saying he doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how close he was to retirement and whatnot. But what I thought was more interesting was the quote that was on the team's website. And it was, quote, I never commit to anybody more than 1 year. I think that's all we should always commit to with this sport, because if we look past this year, then we're cheating ourselves and we're cheating other people.
His wife must love that quote. Like, yeah, I'm just committed for a year. Like, on January 1st, we'll get together, we'll decide if we're going to go forward. He might be onto something. What if marriage was like that? What if there was, like, we did it like contracts? Like, all right, sweetheart, like, you're in a contract year. I don't know if, you know, just to let you know, in case for any changes you wanted to make or whatever, I think it's kind of a genius idea. So Roethlisberger might be onto something. But ultimately, and this has been backed up for me from some of our colleagues here who have interacted with Roethlisberger. But I had once made the remark that Roethlisberger was like the dude who you get a Facebook invite and he always hits maybe because he wants people to beg him to go. Like, hey, we're all we're going to Vegas this weekend or whatever it is. You know, like, here's the thing. He's like, maybe. Like, because he wants everybody to be like, come on, dude. You got to be there. It wouldn't be the same. And at some point, I think the Steelers are going to be like, yeah, whatever. Like, we'll be fine. We'll find a quarterback. Like, we're the Steelers. We've had good quarterbacks for a long ass time, and we're not going to need. We're not the Texans. No, that was cheap.
Oh, but no, you did.
but no, but they're going to do it. Like, at some point, you're like, all right, bro, we get it. Like, yeah, okay. Like, I hate that person. Like, there's people who are in like fantasy leagues or anything, or like guys that you want to get to go on a road trip to San Diego. Or for you, it would be like, what, South Padre Island or something? I don't know. Galveston's too close. But you know somebody. Like, when you're like, hey, you know, like, hey, do you want to go? Do you want to go to the Astros game tonight? And he's like, I don't know. And you got to kind of convince him. At some point, you stop convincing that person, and you find somebody else who's down to always go. And Roethlisberger can keep playing this game of, like, beg me to come back before they're like, dude, we've got Le'Veon Bell, and we've got Antonio Brown and Martin. Like, there's a lot of quarterbacks who could make this work. So I don't know if you want to keep doing this, but yeah, like, at some point it's going to end poorly, as they all do.
It'll be interesting to see how things turn out there in Pittsburgh with Big Ben. I'll tell you what I should have done as the icebreaker, Adam. You may have seen this, you may have not, but you know, the NBA Twitter account is pretty active right now, considering it's in the NBA playoffs, and Amy Schumer attended a game. You're a stand-up comic. You'll take the stage from time to time. And the tweet reads, Amy Schumer and a fan on NBA on TNT, hashtag NBA GIF. Like, how disrespectful is that to not recognize Dave Chappelle?
Or is it a joke? Is it somebody playing a joke? Is it a super meta joke?
Like, you think
I'm I'm so torn on this because I don't know. I'm really torn because I think that it could have been because it's a hilarious joke if it is. Like, it's a pretty good one to do. Like, because obviously Dave Chappelle is probably more famous than Amy. So I see, like, I could, if somebody wanted to try to sell me that it was a joke, like, I'm like, okay, I get it. And then I see the kids running around here who run our social accounts. And I look at them and I started doing, like, I wanted to start, I should have said I wanted to. I've only done it to one young lady, and she knew who Chappelle was. She's like, nah, she's like, I wouldn't have done it as a joke, but maybe. She's like, because I'm like, you guys know who Chappelle is? Because you're like, oh yeah, because I'm a little bit older. Like, Chappelle was huge when I was, you know, in college or a young adult and everything. So it's like, okay, so but I have this thing of like, obviously I know who he is, but I'm like, oh, it's somebody who's just out of college, which a lot of these social media managers are. Like, do they know? Like, is it a thing? Like, do they, like, if somebody who's 22 or 25, like, are they huge Chappelle fans? This could have been, you know, like, oh, and a fan, like, but there would be no reason to call out that it was a fan unless you were trying to make a joke. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, you wouldn't, like, if it was just Amy, like, if it wasn't Dave Chappelle, if it was just somebody else and you were looking at that, and you would just be like, oh, it's Amy Schumer in the crowd. Like, you wouldn't put "and a fan." "And a fan" to me signals that it's a joke. Like, the wording of that. And if, otherwise, it would just be like, Amy Schumer in the crowd. Amy Schumer with the fans. But it was a specific "and a fan," not multiple, not in the crowd. The wording of that leads me to believe that it was a joke about Dave Chappelle. And I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt because I think the NBA is pretty hip. Most kids know what they're doing. So I'm going to say it was a pretty funny joke, and I kind of applaud them for it.
Wow. That's an interesting take, because that Twitter just, you know, they went crazy over it. They killed the NBA. Well, it'd be interesting to see what Dave thought about it.
But it's funny, too, because that's the way the internet is. It's like, you can't be too subtle with the internet. And that's one of the things that I always find myself doing is when you're trying, because I like to craft jokes on Twitter, you know, and try to be a little bit more of a wise ass.
Right.
And it's like, sometimes you get caught because people are not going with, they're not understanding the joke with you. Like, I made a joke, I think it was yesterday, or it was on Tuesday, May 23rd. We were 107 days from the Super Bowl 51 in Houston. 107 days to week one, and I made, oh, it's 107 days from Super Bowl 51, 107 days until Jets fans say, wait till next year. And people are like, well, is the Super Bowl in 100? I'm like, no, it's week one. They're like, oh, I get it now. So you're always running that risk, and it's like, God, it's like, sometimes when you're doing jokes on the internet, you're like, okay, how would Jay Leno approach this in the most banal way possible that will reach the most people? Because that's usually not, I usually like to go subtle, and I would like to throw subtle shade at Dave Chappelle like that. So that's why I'm giving the NBA the benefit of the doubt, I think. And if they didn't, then they suck, because that was a terrible, that was a terrible thing to miss. But I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, say it was hilarious. It was a nice nudge at Dave Chappelle. And, I think the internet needs to calm the F down every once in a while.
Yeah, they do. They do. They really do. They get pretty, we get it on tweets. I'm part of a show on ESPN 97.5. We get on tweets and we get it heavy on the text lines too. And, you know, we also have a stand-up comic in Barry Laminack that I introduced you to on, you know, at Radio Row. And he, you sound almost identical to the frustration that he expresses from time to time on our show. So I totally get it. I totally get it.
You did Salisbury had a tweet the other day about, like, who would you jump in to save? And what was it? Like, if somebody got pulled into the ocean, what would you jump in to save? Your mother, your wife, your daughter, or, like, $10 million? And I saw some people were like, this is, like, again, people just can't have a sense of humor and get all butthurt about it. Like, yeah, this is a shit. Okay, no, you're fine. Like, it. Just don't put your daughter on the edge of a dock and you'll probably be okay. I voted on it. I voted daughter. Like, I went serious on that one. But yeah, and like I told my wife that too. She's like, "What the?" I'm like, "Would you not? Like, would you not jump in for her? Like, of course you would, you lunatic." But yeah, but people always take that stuff the wrong way, and you're like, why can't we just have fun? Like, there's plenty of stuff to get upset about. This is not where we need to be upset."
All right, we're speaking to Adam Rank of the NFL Network and NFL.com here on the Producer Nick podcast, brought to you by AvatarDesk.com. All right, we're based in Houston. I wanted to talk a little Texans with you. What are your thoughts on Deshaun Watson and the move that the Texans made in the draft to get him?
You know what? I'm cool with it. You know, I think that when you look at the price of quarterbacks in the NFL, it's high. You know, it's like going to the airport. You know, if you sit down at the Ruby's there at the Bush International Airport and realize that you're going to have to pay $12 for a Bud Light that you would probably pay $3.54 anywhere else. And it's just kind of a supply and demand type of thing. And if you've identified a quarterback that you want to go after, then you know what? You pay what it costs. You know, you can't complain about it. Like my wife and my daughter wanted passes to Disneyland. You're like, well, I can sit here and gripe about it and deal with it, or else pay it and then realize over the long run, like, okay, it's probably worth the investment. And so I look at the Texans over the last couple of years, and the only thing that's really held them back has been the quarterback position. And they identified Deshaun Watson, who to me, I thought he was the most ready to go, the guy who could probably come in and start right away and be successful right away and do a lot of great things on the field. I think that one of the problems with Watson is that we saw way too much of him, which gives scouts and haters an opportunity to go out and just, you know, pick apart little things here and there. But the dude could deal. Like, the guy, like, took that Clemson team to the title game, and then he took them back to the title game and won, beating Alabama, who had, like, I think 50 NFL-caliber players. Like, it was crazy. And make no mistake, when you watch Clemson this year and they're not good, you'll be like, oh, yeah, like, maybe Deshaun Watson was pretty excellent as a college quarterback, and Dabo Sweeney might not be the greatest coach ever. I mean, the same thing happened with Mississippi State. Like, once Dak Prescott left, they weren't as good. And everybody's like, oh, I wonder what happened to them. Like, the one good quarterback they were able to get is gone. And so the same thing's going to happen to Clemson this year. I think Deshaun Watson's going to be a great quarterback. And I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, and I'll let everybody know who has no idea who I am or doesn't know my background. I'm a Bears fan. And I was like, you know what? For crying out loud, I don't know if I can work blue, so I won't cut. But for crying out loud, like, if you were going to draft a quarterback in the first round, why didn't you pick the guy who we know is a good quarterback as opposed to the dude who started for a season, you know, and might be good. He has a high ceiling. Like, yeah, at some point I just want the better football player. And so I think the Texans did the best of everybody. I think that if you look at the price that the Chiefs paid for to get Mahomes, you're like, good Lord. Like, yeah, okay, you paid a lot, but you got a quarterback who is proven on the field. So I think that was a good move. I'm excited to see what he's going to be able to do. I'm excited for DeAndre Hopkins the most. I'm like, oh, my God. That guy had, like, a funny thing. Like a lot of fantasy guys always do this. When Josh Gordon had that monster year, you're like, oh, look, a quarterback doesn't matter. I'm like, that sometimes it does, because, like, Brock Osweiler could not throw the ball. Like, he could not, like, hit a wide open player. And I think that's not going to be a problem with Deshaun Watson. And I think that this Tech, I'm really excited about their offense, because I think the world of Will Fuller, like, he's a great prospect again, who is, you know, he was hampered by the quarterback play. And the kid you got from, like, the former quarterback from Braxton Miller from Ohio State, like, he's really good too. And Lamar Miller was a serviceable running back. I'm like, I'm a big CJ Fedorowicz guy. I'm like, I think this is a really good offense. I think that they got something cooking down there in Houston. So I'm excited to see what they're putting together, and excited to see Watson get on the field.
So real quick, you think they did the best of everybody in terms of quarterbacks or overall in the overall draft, like overall compared to the other NFL teams?
Well, I mean, I'll let the draft picks kind of break that. I've really, you know, I'll be perfectly truthful with you. I focus a lot on the offense, you know, because I spend a lot of time breaking down fantasy stuff.
Cool.
I thought they did, but I thought they did well. I mean, shit, we don't know. Oh, excuse me, sorry.
You're good.
Excuse my language. I think they did fine. I mean, like, you look at, I mean, I really hate doing draft grades and like, hey, I think this guy is going to be, and a lot of it comes down to fit and scheme and all that stuff. And I thought they did a really good job of they identified the players that they're comfortable with. So there's nothing that they did where you're like, I can't believe they drafted that guy. They did a pretty good job. They've moved a lot of picks, but you know, when you're a team like the Texans, who has a lot of talent, who is very close to competing, like, yeah, at some point, get rid of the picks and go get players that can help you or whatever you need to do. I was just writing something about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and looking back at the trade they made in 2002 when they brought in John Gruden. They gave up two firsts, two seconds. They gave up $8 million. And you're like, man, you know, at the time, you're like, that's a lot. But at the same point, you know, like, they got a Super Bowl out of it. So if this is the kind of move that can get them to the Super Bowl, like, well, who cares about the price? Like, you're there. Like, it's like, you know, like if you paid money to go to the Super Bowl, I know a lot of people who do that, you know, and at some point you're like, you know what? I can't put a cost on this experience. And similarly, if if this is successful and they make a run and they go to the Super Bowl, you'll be like, who cares if we gave up these first round picks? Like,
right.
I want to experience winning right now. So I think they did a really good job, and I think that they're headed in the, I hate to say it, so stupid, like, heading in the right direction, but literally, they are heading in the right direction.
All right, well, two more questions. One more Texans question. Dwayne Brown, he signed a six-year deal back in 2012, a $53.4 million deal. I believe he has somewhere in the ballpark of like $19 million left on his contract, none of which is guaranteed. I'll note this, the OTAs are voluntary. Few teams get 100% participation. But he decides not to show up to OTAs, not happy with his contract. I mean, isn't this a bit surprising? I mean, how big of a deal is this? This is probably going to blow over, I imagine. What's your perspective on that?
It's all a part of the dance. You know, it's just one of those, you know, that's the way these contract things go. I saw not R. Kelly, but the other, I think it's Matt Jones, is going to miss OTAs for the Redskins because they're like, okay, whatever. Like, you're lucky to be in the league, dude. Like, what are you doing? But it's all part of the dance. The only thing, though, that I think is different now from, let's say, 5 years ago is that there was a lot more practice time. And there was a lot more practice time and a lot more, you know, opportunity to go back and get out on the field. But now they've kind of legislated practice out of a game that you kind of don't want these guys to miss time. But the good news is that he's a veteran player. He knows what he's doing. Like you don't have a first year head coach. It's not like you're running something new. So at the end of the day, you know, God, why am I using these dumb cliches? But ultimately, is that different enough? Ultimately, he knows what he's doing. And you know what? He's not going to be out there getting hurt. That's the jaded fan in me at some point. You're like, all right, like, hey, if you're not going to show up to practice, fine. Just be in shape. Don't get hurt. Like, whatever. Like, I don't want you out there risking anything. So, I'm sure it's big news. And I know that everybody in town probably wants to talk about it, which I don't know why, because you have the best team in baseball. You should be talking about that little twerp Altuve. I'm an Angels fan, by the way. If anybody
I know you
didn't
are.
Know that.
I know you are.
I'm telling your listeners, I'm an Angels fan. So so I think it's going to be, like, week one when you guys are, I don't even know who you're playing week one. I'm sorry, I should have been more, who is it, Tennessee or whoever. You'll be crushing it week one, and nobody will care that this guy missed OTAs, but it's something fun to talk about right now.
All right, cool. One last thing. They're playing the Jaguars. But one last thing.
Oh, you guys are going to lose that one. Damn, Jags are good. What? Don't laugh. How dare you besmirch my friends down in Duval County, Florida?
It seems like we've been talking about the Jaguars making some rain, making some, you know, noise for how many seasons now?
Yeah, but they have a new coach, and it's a new system. And, well, I guess Doug Marrone was there for the last two games. The one thing, the sneaky great thing that they did was getting Tom Coughlin. Like, they really did need to kind of get their S together and kind of, shore some things up. And they have a nice – I'll be honest with you, though. That AFC South is going to be ridiculous this season. And I think there's a good chance, as crazy as it seems, that the Colts end up as the last place team. I think Jacksonville's good. I think Tennessee's going to be a player. And obviously I've been talking up Houston for the last 10, 15 minutes. And so I see three teams that will be playing for, you know, the playoffs and everything like that. I'm concerned, not concerned, what do I care? But I'm wondering if, like, one of those teams, like, if they're going to knock each other off, like, if it's going to be one of those leagues where, you know, there's two 10-6 teams, a 9-7, and the Colts just continue to struggle because they still have a lot of holes, man. And so I think it's going to be a fun division. So don't look at that Jags in week one and just be like, yep, 1-0. And I'll tell you right now, that's going to be a tough game. And if you guys blow them out, I'll come back and I'll let you somehow we'll figure out a way for all your listeners and fans to come back and rake me over the coals for it. But I'm pretty confident that that's going to be a good game. I'm not going to go out so far as to say the Jags win, but they're going to be better. It's not necessarily an automatic win. So everybody calm down.
I'll do my homework on the Jags. I like your take on the Colts. So we'll take it. But one last thing, the Bengals, they draft Joe Mixon, probably the most controversial guy of the draft, but a guy, you consider the situation with Jeremy Hill, I guess, what's the right word? He wasn't impactful the past season or two.
Wasn't playing well.
And then Giovanni Bernard, I guess, has a ACL situation. How easily are they going to have to, or, you know, look past his history because of their running back situation?
Well, you're done. You're pot committed now. You're in. I mean, you drafted Joe Mixon. You can't walk away from that. So what you have to do is go forward, and he's going to be your number one running back. I think talent-wise, he's going to be the best player that they can put on the field. He does everything that Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard does, and he does it better because he's an excellent receiver out of the backfield as well as a bulldozer just coming out, you know, as a runner. And if he didn't punch a woman and have it caught on videotape, there's a good chance he would have been the first running back selected in the draft because he has that kind of talent. But the Bengals, they made their decision, and so you can't back away from it now. It's like, yep, it's you're out there. And the worst thing, though, is what Marvin Lewis really needs to learn is don't comment on excessive celebration when you drafted Joe Mixon or you had Vontaze Burfict and Adam Jones and all these. Like, who are you? Like, you're what? Like, you're – yeah, that's a bad example for the kids. That's like if Quentin Tarantino was getting on some director for making movies that were too violent. Like, who are you to talk, bro? Like, you are the one who's out of bounds. So they made their decision, and now you just got to do it. Just make the best football decision for them because you can't uncork that one. So he's going to be their starting running back. He'll probably end up being the top. I don't know. I really like Christian McCaffrey, but Joe Mixon's going to have an excellent season because he's a good football player.
There you have it. Adam Rank at Adam Rank on Twitter, NFL Network, NFL.com. I kept you a really long time. I told you 20 minutes, but I really appreciate
you
your time.
Me. Like, dude, I wouldn't shut up. That's the thing. It's like, I get on this, and then I won't stop. I could have given less than 30 minutes to each answer, but that's not my way. Like,
well, but when you called my boy Altuve a twerp, I figured I'd shatter your schedule.
You're like, well, this is over. This has become hostile. Did you not like the Tarantino analogy? Was that wrong? Should I work on that one?
No, it was cool. It was cool.
No, I don't know. I heard nothing. This is kind of dead air. So I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I'll keep working. I'm still workshopping that one.
No,
it does offend me.
Oh, no, I completely get it. Dude, you remind me so much of Barry in that regard because I've done that too. Like, I'd be behind the scenes, and I'm not saying this happened on the podcast. I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't necessarily be paying attention to everything that he's saying. And he'd be like, well, you didn't say anything. And I'm like, I know I didn't say anything. I just didn't
have 30 things I got to do.
Yeah. And then he's like, no, you didn't think it was funny. And then I would say, no, I wasn't paying attention. And then he would just go off on me for not paying attention. It's funny. Like, we'll go back and forth, and it's pretty. Yeah, it happens. But, yeah, I mean, that's such a hard craft, man. I mean, working on the delivery, making sure you have good content. Because there's, like, easy comedy, and then there's that in-depth. I mean, we could have a long conversation about comedy, but I've had plenty of it with Barry. I always think it's fascinating what y'all do, but. I really appreciate the podcast, man. I really really appreciate the appearance. Anything big on NFL Network that you got coming up?
Not for a while, you know. Oh, I will have a pretty cool series, though. I'll have a series coming out on NFL.com, Why You Should Root For. And I'm going to go through all 32 teams, give a little bit of brief history and then a little bit of why you should be a fan. Cause I know that there's a lot of people who each and every year are new to the game. Like this might not be for everybody who's already a fan of a team who knows everything about every team. But you know what, if you're new to the game, like I'm reaching out to those people and being like, hey, this is a brief history of the Panthers, and here's Sam Mills, and here's Steph Curry. Keep pounding, you know, and we'll go through and talk to some celebrities and get their takes on it. So it'll be fun, and it'll keep me busy. They'll probably get me on NFL Network talking about it. So keep an eye out for me doing that. And then fantasy is right around the corner. And if you're looking for fantasy advice, the NFL Fantasy Live podcast comes out once a week until the season starts, and we'll ramp it up to a couple of days a week. So we have all that stuff coming up. And then, you know what, if you're in Houston, I'll probably be on your radio stations in the near future. So keep an ear out for me.
Adam Rank, NFL Network, NFL.com. Thank you so much, man.
Nick, thank you so much. Good luck on the podcast. I'm going to go back and listen to the first 7 episodes and see what's going on.